79 or 50 or whatever, and I start hitting mountains. And when the truck starts going up in the hills and the gas gauge goes down because we're sucking gas to get up the mountain and down the other side, and I feel this sense of peace. There's something about the mountains. There's something about the worshiping in the mountains. How the big churches years ago would be filled up and packed out, preacher. They would be so packed out, if you didn't get there by 9 o'clock, you'd have to stand outside and wait to see through, or hear through the windows. There wasn't air conditioning. There was very few fans at that time. But the doors, all the windows and doors would be open and the church would be packed. What a blessed time, preacher. What a blessed time. That's going to happen again, by the way. It's going to happen again when the churches are going to fill up. Because when Americans go through opposition and trial, God brings them to the house of God. Isn't that wonderful? It's funny. It's not wonderful we go through trials, but in that sense, we run to God. How often America has run away from God, run to the world, expected the world to give them answers for what they're going through. But our valley, Baca, is a valley of weeping. It's trials. In those valleys, you're going to find certain things that are going to happen in your life. It is a valley that faith is put to the test. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. Whereas ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that your trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Remember this morning when you have trials and you go through these temptations and such things that affect your life. Whether you're whether you've had a young child born recently or you're dealing with terrible twos, amen. I know folks in here remember that. The terrible two days. My sons and my daughter, well, they're all in the textbook. If you had the textbook when you were getting married and you read through it, they could have added a few things to that textbook, amen, that I never heard of. And so children are very difficult, but they're a blessing. They're a heritage. Amen? But you go through those trials for a reason. You understand, Christian, today we're going to go through more trials and more things because God is rearing us for what's to come. This COVID was just a slight offhand for us. We all were caught off guard. Amen. I should have never dealt with that situation the way I did. I've been raised in this wonderful Bible from the time I was very little. I know this Bible back and forwards. We all got caught off guard. When passing through the valley, remember this. Number one this morning, remember this. The good shepherd chooses your route. The good shepherd chooses your route. John 10, 27. Let's turn to that one. John 10, 27. I love this. I read everything through. I don't read just 10:27. I read a few of the verses before that. This is assurance of your salvation. John 10, let's read 25 through 30. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not, the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So when the world tells you, Christian, you can lose your life, what are you going to say to them? Are you going to say, maybe I can? Maybe if I did it this way, I can? According to the scripture, you can never lose your salvation. Amen? You can never lose your salvation. Why? Because you didn't buy it. It was given to you. It was given to you as a gift. And so therefore, I read under this situation, this good shepherd shows us the way through this valley. Not as an easy road to travel in the valley, but Jesus is leading us all the way. It is a route that requires what? That wonderful word called faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. In that valley, you're going to find trials that you cannot bear, and you give them to the Lord Jesus Christ because you can't get through it without Him. Trials and troubles are going to come your way, and you're going to face things that you've never faced before. But God will say, I'm always there, and I'll always get you through it. Sickness and sorrow and pain and even death is going to be in your life at this time, and God is going to be the one that you run to and not the world. As I show you in this part, Mary and Martha sent to Jesus about their brother Lazarus and said, Lord, he is sick. In John 11, 1 through 6, let's turn to John 11, 1 through 6. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, amen, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. You think about the story of that great story, Lazarus dying and Jesus coming back. It was for the glory of God. The valley that you're in is for the glory of God. The reason why you're going through the valley is for to glorify our Heavenly Father. The reason why we wake up and we don't understand everything that's going on in our Christian life, it's because of that glory to God. Amen. The sorrow and the pain is always going to be there in that valley. Jesus is always going to be there in that valley. But you've got to understand that He is the one that is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Where is Jesus in your life this morning? Is he that real? Did you drop out of your wonderful slumber this morning and fall onto your knees? I love it every time I come here to this church that I get to see men come forward before the preaching and get on their knees and ask God to be a part of this wonderful. I see you have a conference coming up here. And I see that there's going to be men praying every day for that conference, for God to do something mighty in this church. You have a wonderful church, you know that. I spread the word across the country about this church, Grace Baptist Church, here in Bridgeport, West Virginia. I said, if you're ever in the area and you want to feel welcome and loved, stop in and visit that church on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. I love the fact that your preacher is still having services on a Sunday night. Amen. I don't care where I go across this country when I see a church saying, hey, be back at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or even 7 o'clock on a Sunday night. It blesses my heart because God was there on a Sunday night and Thomas missed out. Amen. If he'd have been there at church, preacher, on a Sunday night, he'd have got to see the Lord Jesus Christ come right through the walls at him. Amen. But he wasn't there on a Sunday night and he missed that first blessing. Obviously, Jesus waited another time for him to come back and see that he was Lord God. But think about this. Think about that valley, folks, that you're in this morning. Yes, it's a difficult valley. Yes, sometimes you deal with death in the family. Yes, sometimes you feel like you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Jesus was at the right place at the right time. He did not have to explain himself to anybody. He did love Lazarus. Because he abode 2 more days, a few days where he was at, did not mean he didn't love Lazarus. It was because he needed to be glorified. Amen. Number two this morning, it is the glory of God and for his good. His good and for your good. It is for the glory of God and for your good this morning that you're in this valley. Psalms 23:1, Romans 8:28. It is in the valley where you understand who you are and where you're going. It's in the valley where you have the presence of the good shepherd. It's so very real in your life. In the valley is where the grass is always greener and on your side, where you'll find them beautiful still waters. He told the woman at the well, he said, ma'am, he said, the water that you drink right now, you'll never thirst again. Are you thirsty this morning? Are you hungry this morning for what God has for your life? Have you got a ministry that you're wondering, hey, God, is this the ministry for me? Are you trying to help your preacher in every way you can to help him and his wife to have a wonderful life here at your church? Have you stepped up and said, preacher, I'll do this. Hey, preacher, I'll be in the bus ministry. Hey, preacher, I'll take care of this for you. You think about that. You're going through a valley for only a short time and then the mountaintop. Think about this morning, where you are and you are restored. In the valley is where God restores you back to His good. In the valley is we draw closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. In the valley we see the mighty hand of God working in our lives and in our families' lives and our children's lives. In the valley we grow in our faith more stronger and more stronger. In the valley we learn God's perfect and precious will for our lives. Teenagers, this morning, do you understand that God has a perfect plan for your life? I told my wife, I said, honey, years ago we're going to turn our kids over to God. I said, I want God to use them in a mighty way. I want to get right out of the way. I've raised them to a certain point, and now they need to get their God. My son said, Dad, I love God, and I want to be just like your God. I said, well, you get your own God. That's how you do it. You get your own God. Get a personal relationship with your own Heavenly Father, because then you can talk with Him. You can commune with Him daily, and He can help you. All those little trials are going to pop up in your way. Oh, Dad, they're just like, no, they're not like mine. They're going to be different. They're going to be your trials. And God is going to use those special trials to mold and make you into the man of God that you will be today. And I turned him over to the God. I turned my daughter. I said, honey, you're going to go to college, and there's going to be a bunch of weird guys all trying to want date you at the same time. And you just got to pick one of them. Amen. Praise the Lord. You don't have to pick four or five guys. Just one. And so she called me and said, Dad, I have to tell you this. I'm dating this guy, and I don't know. He's just not like me. I said, sweetie, he's going to be a little bit different. But I said, does he love God? Yes. Does he read his Bible? Yes. Does he go to church? Yes. Amen. That's a bonus right there. And I said, I'm not dating him by the way you are. So you have to figure that out for yourself. But she would call me and say, Dad, what about this? What about? Oh, I don't know. I'm not him. I can't tell you. You have to ask him. So eventually I was able to sit down with him and say, this is what I'd like you to do. This is my only daughter. If you treat her bad, you'll be floating down the river. Paraphrasing, of course. Amen. I established a communication with him right away. That's my princess. I said, you need to take care of her better than me. And he said, okay. I said, great, we're on the same page. And then when he married her, he did that. He took care of her better than I could. God is good. In that valley, you're gonna run into situations in your family you have no idea. Run to your preacher, ask him, preacher, what do I do? I'm in this situation. I don't understand it. Help me. And your pastor is there to help. That's why God gave him. In that valley, you're going to run into all different circumstances. But you'll see the mighty hand of God working on your life. You'll learn God's perfect will for your life. Number three this morning, Jesus will make your trial a blessing. Jesus will make your trial a blessing. That valley of Baca is talking about is a well that springs up with living water, that every time you get thirsty, you can run to it and drink of it. It is also pools of clear, cool water. Waters of blessings, waters of circumstances, waters of getting through a circumstance that you may be in. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I said weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Psalms 35. God is faithful. You are His child. Remember, folks, if you're saved, you are a child. That word Christian is so used loosely these days. Anybody can call themselves a Christian. A Catholic says, I'm a Christian. A Methodist, I'm a Christian. Everybody says they're a Christian. But you are a child of the living God this morning. He is one that you can turn to anytime you have need. You can roll out of the bed at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I've done many, many times, and said, oh God, help me with this trial that I'm going through. Oh God, help my wife and I to find a place to go and be a minister to a church. Oh God, help us to have the finances to get down the road. I got to tell you a story about the truck. It's a quick one. I told Pastor I was looking for a truck. I had a truck I thought would pull my camper, and it did not pull it. It was like a little rag doll all over the road as I was trying to pull it down the road. It was not going to work. So I said, Lord, I need a truck. So my nephew said, I'm building you one, Uncle, so you can pull your camper down the road. And about the last day, I was headed over to Brother Reddick's to preach for him. He was on vacation. And I was going to preach for him all Sunday, and I said, I don't have a truck. So I headed over there to preach, and I preached the Sunday morning service. We had two people saved, and then we got done with the service, and a man says, I have a dealership, preacher. Monday, come on over Monday, and I think I might have a vehicle for you. And I said, praise God. I preached that Sunday night. We had two more people saved that Sunday night and a couple added to the church. It was a wonderful and wonderful Sunday. We had worship time, but I was in despair. I'm just like, I don't know what to do. I have a camper, a beautiful camper, and I got to get it down to Texas. That's a long ways to haul something to Texas. So that's Monday morning. I came into the dealership, and he said, I just got it in this morning, and I want you to look at it. I said, okay. So I went into the wash bay where he was cleaning it up. They just got some of the tires done and some of the outside washed. It was a 2013. I got it out back in the church here. It had 24,000 miles on it, and he sold it to me for $24,000. Now, I don't know about you, but that's an answer to prayer in one day. Amen. I said, God, I need a truck to pull this camper to go keep churches open. Can you help me? He said, sure. I already have it there waiting for you. 24,000 miles on a 2013 Chevy pickup, and that's not all. It has extended mirrors, which don't come on a half ton. It also has shocks for load shocks for the when the camper go down, it sits on the shocks. God made that truck perfect for me to pull that ministry camper down the road to keep churches open. I don't know about you this morning, but that fired me up a little bit. I preached a little differently that night, amen? I'm going to tell you right now, I got a little excited about God. I said, God, you answered my prayer even before I thought it. Isaiah 65:24 says, I have answered your prayer even before you thought it. And while you are yet speaking, I answered it. That's the God we serve this morning, amen? I tell you, there's nothing God can't do for you when you get on the same mindset as him. And put your trials and your struggles and temptations all into his arms because he can hold them all. His cup never overfloweth. Jesus will make your trial a blessing. God is faithful. You're his child. Grace is sufficient, as the preacher said this morning. Grace and mercy are restored every morning. Trust God for your blessing. Trust God for your blessing. Here's my conclusion this morning is this. Are you passing through a valley right now? Is there things in your life that you have no answer for them? Run to the preacher. That's why God gave you a man of God. He gave you a man that's a keeper of your soul. He's a man that can help you in any way that you need help. And if he doesn't, he just opens the Bible and goes to the great shepherd and he opens it up and gives you the message that you need to hear. Go to the man of God. Put your hand in the nail-scarred hand of Jesus and keep on walking. Put your hands, just like Thomas said, I'll put my fingers in the holes in your side and in your hands. My Lord, my God. And keep on walking. Number C. And when the other side, you will look back and praise your God. You will look back and praise your God for that valley that you went through because you're headed for the mountaintop. When you come into West Virginia, it's nice and flat. And then you start heading to the mountains and you start to smile because you're going up. Amen, you're going up. Think about that. And then someday, looking back, all those years when your children are raised and your grandchildren are raised and you're in church still and you're a senior citizen, I call them senior saints, amen? The gray hairs, they're my senior saints. I go to them for wisdom. Believe it, thank God for your senior saints, amen? Thank God for your children to be able to go through them. That was another sermon for another time. You will say, thank you, Lord, this valley was for me. Thank you, Lord. This valley was for me. I want you to pray for my wife and I that as we go across this country that we're going to see more churches staying open than more churches closing because that's the reason why we're doing it. I could have went and took another church and stayed there, but God said, I want you, this is perfect for you, son. I want you to go and help my people to get back right with me. Isn't that wonderful? Every time a church stays open in our country, the bus ministry is still there. The soul winning is still there. The voting is still there. Every time a church closes, we lose all those areas. Just think about that. When you pray God to keep that church open. That church has been there 20 years. It's been there 30 years, 40 years. Thank God, keep that church open so they can be an influence for their area because that's why we're doing it. Amen? And every time one stays open, woo! The devil gets kicked in the face. Amen. And another one stays open. Boom. And I remind him of that, by the way. I get excited because he's always bothering me. So I get to bother him right back. Hey, I just kept another one open. Satan, go back to where you belong. Amen. And it's when you get the, you know, kick him a little bit. Hey, praise God for that. Amen. So I ask God when I get to heaven, if you just give me a chance about an hour with him to just beat him up. I would just want to do it for just about an hour because I'll have the super body then. He can't, you know, he won't be able to handle it. So. Just think about that. Every time you come to church and somebody gets saved, you kick the devil right square in the face. That's why we're doing it. This valley is for me right now, my wife, but there's going to be a mountaintop. There's going to be a mountaintop when we stand before the Lord and he says, thank you for doing what I asked you to do. And that's, I don't care about the mansion. I really don't. I really don't care about it. I'm a different kind of person. If I get one, that's fine. I don't care about the golf course. What I do care about is standing before my Lord and him saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Joy, the glories of the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
We'll bow our heads together, and the Lord has spoken to you today. You're certainly welcome to use the psalter. Patty will come in just a moment and play hymn of invitation. As Brother Huntington preached, I was just thinking there in the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God uses that rod, that staff, to just kind of lead us back to where we need to be, a sheep. Sometimes God has made that valley just for you. Maybe you're going through a valley. Maybe you are considering just stepping away from the Lord, misunderstanding what he's actually trying to do. Maybe today you just need to bow your heart before the Lord and say, God, you know what? I'm in the valley. You've promised to comfort me. You may use a rod and staff to do it, but God, help me not to move. Help me not to get bitter at you. Help me not to run during this time. Help me just look to you. So I'm going to have Patty begin to play. And as she plays this morning, if God has spoken to your heart, you want to come to this altar, you come. And you do exactly what the Lord wants you to do. If you're here today, maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We'd be glad to take the Bible and take you aside and show you how you can know, how you can be certain that heaven is your home and that your sins are forgiven and that you have relationship with him.